Welcome to the Illusion of More podcast. I'm David Newhoff. My guest today is Gene Grillo. Since 1996, Gene has been a staff writer on several animated children's series, including Johnny Bravo, Jimmy Neutron, and the new series Breadwinners, now airing on Nickelodeon. I spoke to Gene via Skype at his home in Pasadena, California. How did you come to end up writing children's programming?
I was an actor before that in Chicago, in New York, and then later in Chicago. And I came to Chicago as an actor. And when I was in Chicago, I got involved in Second City and improv. And they teach you very much how to write. You know, those, especially Second City, they teach you how to write. If something works, you go home and write it, and then it becomes a sketch that you can do in a review. So you go home and polish it. And they have their sketch reviews generally. And then after the sketch review, they'll take a break, and then they'll take suggestions from the audience, and they'll do improv. They'll do an improv set. And the stuff that works, they will take that, and they will go home, and they will write that up and try to turn that into a sketch. I mean, these schools were machines. Like, they trained you. Okay, you're good. You're going to be in this show, you know, and before you know it, they're working you up to main stage.
Right, right. Well, certainly the Second City and the Groundlings are world famous for exactly
what you're describing. Oh, my gosh. One of the other teachers, he didn't teach my class, but the other teacher was an unknown actor at the time named Steve Carell. And
I've heard of him.
Heard of him, yeah. And also Steve Colbert. Steve Colbert was in the, it was like minor league improv. They do the minor league show in the evening. Stephen Colbert was in that. He was in the experimental group. So, you know, even while I was there, they were churning out people.
Right. Right. Well, comedy in general, especially sketch comedy and improvisational comedy, has always had a sort of writer-actor hybrid in it. You know, I mean, all of Saturday Night Live, that's a long tradition of people who both create sketches and perform in those sketches.
Yeah.
It's got to be
done quickly, and sometimes the night before it sucks.
Right, and that even goes back all the way to the early Sid Caesar days and that very, very famous room of writers.
Sure.
Many of them were also actor writers as well, probably most famously Mel Brooks.
Yeah. And my roommate at the time, he was also an actor, and he started doing improv too, and he basically quit acting, and he concentrated on writing. And a friend of his helped him get a job out here. And then after a couple of years, I also abandoned acting, and I tried to concentrate on writing. And a couple of years later, he helped me get a freelance job on that show. And then they liked the script, so they hired me. I was desperately trying to switch careers. I painted myself into an acting hole. And I was embarrassed to be seen in public.
you weren't the first, you won't be the last.
Yeah, you know, and also, you know, I directed a little bit, so I, you know, and directing showed me just how fickle, you know, reinforced just how fickle acting could be, and I always wanted to write. I got a little sidetracked, and it was an effort to try to have a little bit more control over my fate.
So tell me a bit about you wrote Johnny Bravo for how many years?
About three, and I was I started as staff writer, and then I was a story editor on that.
What is the, for people who don't know, what is the role of story editor on a show like that?
Generally, a staff writer will only have to worry about their script, but a story editor is looking at everything that's coming down the pipe.
Right. keeping a
so
a,
you know, you're shaping the stories right from the beginning, and often you will be the one to rewrite it when it needs to be rewritten. The staff writer will also often do a pass. You know, the staff writer will give whoever it is, the head writer. Sometimes it's in my case, usually it was the executive producer, and who's kind of like the head writer. He would do like the final pass on it, and I was the story editor is sort of like his second in command.
Right. How many staff writers are on a show like that, usually? Or is it not usual?
Well, animation's pretty small, so maybe two or three.
Okay, so it's like not staff. The...
So maybe five writers all together, including like three staff.
So it isn't the big table that we sometimes see dramatized?
Not as much in animation as in live action, perhaps. But we always did. I always enjoyed best when everybody was in the room together and working on something as a group. Like, for example, at Johnny Bravo, we wrote everything in the room together. And this is one of the few. This is kind of unusual for animation, but this is like the best way to work. Is that the writers would come in with a premise that they pitched to network, and then they'd write an outline from that. So we'd go in with an outline, and then we would write a whole 7-minute episode on the wall with the artists there. So it was like maybe 6 or 7 people in the room, and anybody could pipe in. The writers kind of led it. It was basically me and the executive producer were the writers. And then there was the director, and then the board artist, and even the prop guys. So we would just write the episode together. And if someone, you just pitch jokes all day, and if someone laughed, there was a good chance that would go on the wall. So that was like my favorite way. We just had a blast because I never had to write a script. We would just write it and just put it right on the wall. Which I think, I don't really know, but I think that's, probably the way they used to do it, like the old Tex Avery's and some of the Max Fleischer's. I don't know for sure, but I doubt those guys had scripts. They probably just had outlines and they
right.
just went in and, just did crude thumbnails.
Sure, sure. Well, in some of those cases, it's so hard to tell whether... script-led, sort of animation or animation-led script, certainly things like the Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny in particular, very, very dialogue-driven to a great extent, but not exclusively. Yeah. It's like, the whole sort of way the animation would unfold almost demanded what the text would be, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, ideally it goes hand in hand,
sure.
I think on the best shows. Like the show I'm on now is created by these two guys, and one's a writer, one's an artist, and they really, they really drive it together. One isn't really more important than the other.
Right. What is the show you're on now? Tell us about it.
Breadwinners. It's called Breadwinners.
Okay.
I believe it's. Probably, I think it's the number one show on Nick right now. I'm not sure about that, but I think I think last week it was the number one show, and it's about two ducks who deliver bread in a rocket van, and it's pretty goofy and funny.
I'm sorry, Gene. You said two ducks that deliver bread
in a rocket van.
In a rocket van.
Yeah.
Okay. And even though my kids probably do, I don't get to see a lot of Nick myself. Tell me more.
It's very, it's music centered. There's like a dance beat that goes almost throughout every episode. So when you're watching the episode, you're hearing a dance beat like bump, bumps, 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 bumps. And I've never seen anything like that before. So there's like a huge music element to it. Sometimes these ducks are white, but they rap. they're not kid characters. They're like, young teen characters.
Uh-huh.
I
was going to ask, I mean, like, okay, I remember Johnny Bravo because my first kid, when I say my first kid watched Johnny Bravo, what I really mean is my first kid gave me an excuse to watch Johnny Bravo myself.
Right.
Which I enjoyed. And a lot of animation, the humor was actually over his head in some cases. I could tell an adult is writing it, if for want of a better way to put it. The sort of mature references I found at times. But do you relate to these two duck characters, and how do you relate to these two duck characters? You described them as teenagers, which you are not yourself.
No, I'm not a teenager.
Right.
It's a bromance. They're just two good friends, and they work together, and they live together, and it's largely about their friendship. And there's a smart one, the leader, and there's a dumb one who worships him.
Right. Right. Well, I guess my question is, like, how do you, I'm trying to find a smart way to ask the question, but when somebody, like, for example, if I write something and I create a character, I know what that character's voice sounds like. Right. You get hired as a writer to work on a character somebody else has created. Do you, where does the voice or the voices, if you will, of those characters sort of come from? Do you come and put your own hue on it? Do you find yourself sort of having to get into another character's head? It's a little bit like acting in that way, but I'm also assuming.
If you come in on a show that's already existing, you have to, your job is to write in that character voice. You know, you might bring some little things, you might bring some new things in, but generally the character, like Johnny Bravo, that character exists. And if you write for Johnny Bravo, you have to sound like Johnny Bravo, you know, and the story has to think like Johnny Bravo. So you have to write in that character voice. And, you know, and it's like that for really almost all television.
Absolutely. What I was asking also is, did you find yourself taking it away from The Office?
No, not really.
That's good. I think if I were doing that all day at The Office, I'd take it home, and my wife would kill me.
Oh, 8 hours of that is more than enough, I think.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So
unless it's like something really infectious, but generally I got a life. You know, and that's work.
Right.
You know, it's work to be doing that.
Sure. Sure.
So I say I was pretty much able to. I didn't come home talking like the characters. No.